Out in the book of Ecclesiastes. Give you a minute or two to find that one. Ecclesiastes, right after Song of Solomon, Proverbs, that kind of, well, it's before Song of Solomon, sorry. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This message started out as this particular verse that we're getting ready to look at as a kind of a joke that I played on my son. I sent him a text, and the text said, "I bought this guard lion at the pet store, but he died. They didn't have any more guard lions, so they gave me a guard dog instead." And I asked him, "What verse am I talking about?" Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening, this morning. Father, we ask you, God, that you would work in our hearts. Father, use the word, we pray. And Heavenly Father, I ask you, O God, that you just do your will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The word that we're going to look at this morning is actually not found in this verse. We have a phrase that we use here in the States a lot called a consolation prize. Everybody familiar with a consolation prize? That which you get when you don't win? But you know, that's really not what a consolation is. The definition of consolation is a comfort, alleviation of misery or distress of mind, refreshment of mind or spirits, a comparative degree of happiness in distress or misfortune. The second definition is that which comforts or refreshes the spirit. Now, this morning, as I was studying this past week, I got to thinking about second place, second best. And it kind of weighed a lot on my mind. And before we really get into the message, I want to clear the air about one thing here this morning. There was to have been a third announcement. It has been canceled. I have asked for it to be canceled. Okay? Those of you who know what that's about, you understand. That will not be taking place. That had weighed a lot on my mind and kind of led to this message, I think, more than anything, to be quite honest with you. Sometimes we get to this place where we think second place is good enough. And we think that a consolation prize is good enough. This verse talks about having a dead dog is better than a live dog is better than having a dead lion. A lion would make a much better guard animal, don't you think? So do I. I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 2. What we're going to do is we're going to do a word study this morning on the word consolation. Luke chapter 2. You'll see where this is going in just a few, I think. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Here we see the word consolation used in Scripture. This is not the first time. It actually is used in the Old Testament, but didn't really lend itself to what the Lord was leading me toward here. But in each of these verses that we're going to read, there is an application of the word consolation that's effective in our life. God wants us to be comforted. God wants us to have an alleviation of misery. We live in a world today that it seems like that all the bad stuff piles up on us, and by the time you get to Friday, you're so weighed down by it that you really don't know which way to turn. And by the time you get here on Sunday morning, you're really looking for some relief. You need some consolation. You need some comfort. The Scripture tells us here that in this verse, that it's really worth waiting for. We live in this world that is, give it to me now. We live in a microwave society. And I've used this example before. You find yourself popping popcorn, you stick it in the microwave, set it for a minute and a half or 2 minutes or whatever it's supposed to be, and then you're yelling at the microwave because it's not fast enough. It's like, come on, where's my popcorn? That's the society that we live in, instant gratitude. We think that we have to have everything that we want right now. And that's just the society that we live in. That's not God's way. What we need from God this morning, the comfort that we need, the consolation that we need from the Lord is worth waiting for. And sometimes we wait many years for what we think God wants to do in our life. Sometimes we have to continue to wait. The thing about it is, as we read this particular passage of Scripture here in Luke chapter 2, you'll remember that I preached a message out of this passage talking about Simeon and Anna back around Christmas time. And one of the things that is very evident in this particular passage of Scripture is that this consolation is easy to recognize when it shows up. Man, I'll tell you what, there's nothing like it. When you find yourself in such a place that all the cares of this world are weighing upon you, and you feel like you've been beat up, you look like you've been in a boxing ring with Mike Tyson and he just bit off half of your ear, you just, at the end of the week, end of the day, whatever it is, you find yourself, you feel like you've been run over by a truck. You need somebody to come and wrap their arms around you and love on you. And the Lord is willing to do that for us this morning. Sometimes we have to wait for it, but when it does come, it's easy to recognize. He comes along and he puts his arms around us. And as we look at some of these others, I want you to keep that idea in mind. It's easy for us to recognize. In society today, turn to Luke chapter 6, just a few chapters over, for our next passage. Luke chapter 6. In the society that we live in today, we try to find substitutes. We're big on substitutes. We like to take God's will and replace it with our will. We like to take this, that, or the other thing and replace it with whatever makes us happy. You know something? That's not the best way. The best way is to submit to the Lord. But what that all comes about to is found in verse number 24. Notice verse number 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Here we see that we can get instant consolation if we want it. Here the Bible is telling us that money can bring that to us. But you know something? It's no more than a temporary consolation. It will not last. As a lost man, I spent 6 years in the Navy. I traveled all around the world, especially over into the Mediterranean, did a tour over there, went down into the Bahamas and served down there for a little while, and went to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and beautiful areas, and I loved it all. It was very beautiful. But I was always seeking for something and never found it. I found temporary consolation being consoled by a bottle many a time. I sought consolation in the wrong kind of company many a time. But you know something? None of it was ever something that was permanent. I never found true consolation until I found the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are seeking consolation from the things of this world, it's going to be temporary at best. There's going to come a time when whatever that thing you're getting consolation from is taken away. If your consolation is, as these men, riches, there's going to come a time when you fall on hard times. There's going to come a time when maybe you lose your job or you lose that sense of security that you had, and suddenly that sense of consolation is no longer there. You've got to have something better than a temporary consolation. This world is all about temporary. This world is temporary to us. When we draw our last breath, we're out of here. Man, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to that day, and more so every day. If I live my life so that the only thing that brings me happiness is found here, one of these days it's going to end. If I find consolation in my job, what happens when I lose it? If I find consolation in my wife, what happens when she dies? This can happen. We know this. We've got within our sanctuary this morning those of you whose husbands have gone on to glory. Guys, it does happen. If we find consolation only in each other, it's only temporary. That cannot last. Notice Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 is something that each of us need in our life, and it's something that many times we do not submit to the Lord to the point where we can be used by him in this aspect. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 36, the Bible says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus." Here we see this man Joseph, and if you go back a little bit further in Scripture and you begin to examine who Joseph is, his name is Joseph Barsabbas is his true name, but the other apostles have nicknamed this man Barnabas. Barnabas meaning the son of consolation. This is a man that made a ministry of consolation. Each and every one of us this morning, we need in our life someone that has that ministry. You may be that one to be a consolation for others. This is something that's so needed in our world, even in the church today. I put a note in my notes here. It says, there are multitudes, even within the church, that face life as if being saved is a consolation prize. Guys, we know that's not the case. We know that salvation is the best thing, but we often lose sight of that. We lose sight of what's best. We lose sight of what God wants. And many times when we struggle with that, we need somebody like Barnabas to come along and say, you know something? The Lord still loves you. The Lord still cares about you. God wants you to be comforted. This man's ministry was all about preaching to the word of consolation, giving to those that are around him a word of encouragement. You know, we need that today. We live a life that is so depressing sometimes. We live in a world that's so beautiful, but everything else around us, our minds, our attitudes, the attitudes of the world toward Christianity, whatever it might be, seems to beat us up and bring us to that place where we lose hope. We have hope, guys. When we leave this world, we're not going to have to worry about any of this anymore. Amen. This man's whole ministry was dedicated to making sure that people looked forward to what was going to happen, to give them hope, to give them consolation, to give them comfort. The root word that's used for the word consolation, the Greek word, is translated several times in the Bible as comfort and consolation and a couple of others as well that we'll touch on here in a few minutes. But guys, that's what it's all about. This is not something that is a wasted ministry. If you read in Acts chapter 11, turn to Acts 11. Acts chapter 11, I want you to read this with me. Acts chapter 11, verse number 22. 22 through 24. This is not a wasted ministry. Look at verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted, there's the other word, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord, unto the Lord. You see, this ministry was effective. It drew people to God. The ministry of consolation is not one where the man is really going to get the recognition. And if a ministry is performed properly, the man should never be the focus. Ever. Doesn't matter who it is, Joel Osteen or anybody, Dr. Teeth, call him what you want. And none of these guys, the ministry shouldn't be about them. The ministry should be about the Lord. And what we see here is much people was added unto the Lord. When a ministry is properly performed, it strengthens, it edifies, and it draws. It never pushes away. If a ministry comes to the place where you see people leaving like rats from a sinking ship, there's a problem because somebody has lost this effectiveness of the ministry of consolation. They've lost the idea of how to go about it. And then it all becomes about, hey, look what I can do through the church. No, that's not about it at all. We need this in our life today. But there is truly only one source that we can get this consolation. And that's found in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Acts Acts chapter 15 and verse number 30 and 31. The Bible says, "So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation." The Word of God is the one thing that we have in this life that can always give to us consolation, comfort, hope, the idea that God still cares, even though we're going through all of these problems. God knows, and He has given us a book that we can take anywhere and everywhere that we go. When we open it up, these epistles are to give us consolation. That's what they're there for. The Bible talks about how that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That's the same word. God is telling us that God can take the Word of God and apply it in each and every life this morning, so that it will be just as effective as it was for everybody else. Larry can get something from the Message the same as Tom can back there. Each and every one of us, it doesn't matter, it'll be something different. I don't know about you guys, but there have been a lot of times that I've heard a pastor preach, and I've been in the service, and he has mentioned something just in passing in the Message that has encouraged me and strengthened me and allowed me to go out of that service knowing that my God still loves me. No matter what. I may have felt like the people didn't love me. I may have felt like that somebody else didn't love me, but God still does. You know something? God knows what's going on in our life. Amen. And it doesn't make a difference about the people around you that much. As long as you got God on your side, you got everything. We've got the consolation of God's Word. Back up just two chapters, chapter 13, verse number 15. This is part of the same point. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "After the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." This is the same idea, and it is a word of exhortation that we come in here on Sunday morning, and I heard Larry do it this morning, asking for testimonies. This is a time your testimonies encourage others. We lose sight of that. The simple fact that God can provide Connie with a car, man, I'm telling you what, that's God. Amen. I probably suspect where the car may have come from, but you know something? That's the way God works. He works through other individuals to meet our needs, to do what needs to be done, and this is what we need to do. We've lost sight of that. We've lost sight of the whole idea that when God does something for us, we should say, hey, you know, through the Scripture this week, God taught me this. And you tell somebody about it. That brings them consolation through the Word because you were willing to let God use you. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, I quoted verse 4 here just a minute ago. We're going to read it again anyway and then read verse 5. The Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Notice that we have a God of consolation here. God doesn't just console us on a part-time basis. This is who He is. We have a God that, this verse, it says, a God of patience and consolation. Personally, I'm glad that God puts these together in this verse because, first of all, I know I need the patience of God because I'm not always the best guy that I'm supposed to be. And sometimes I need Him just simply to forgive me. Oh, man, that's that knucklehead down there. Look at him. Look what he just did. He did it again. Yeah, chucklehead. But at the same time, God comes along, and after I repent, He wraps His arms around me and says, "I still love you." You know, that's who our God is. These verses, oh man, we're supposed to be encouraged by it. There's a phrase that's used in the Bible. It says, "Be of good cheer." God does that to us sometimes. He comes along and just tries to cheer us up. That particular phrase, "be of good cheer," is only used 7 times in the Bible, and they're all found in the New Testament. be of good cheer. There's a good study for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3 further goes on to show us just how much consolation God has. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Guys, if there's any comfort that comes into our life, any consolation that comes into our life, it comes from God. You guys can try to console. You guys can try to comfort. And many times, we'll look at that here in a few minutes, but that's effective. But essentially, that has to have been something that God channeled through you. We lose sight of the simple fact that we are supposed to be vessels meet for the Master's use. We're simply a tool in God's hand. We're something that God can work through. And that's what we're supposed to be. God wants us to be like that. He is the God of all comfort. Some examples that I found in the Bible, Psalm chapter 86 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me." You see, even the psalmist understood that comfort had to come from God. When all the world was against him, when everybody wanted to kill him, when the king wanted to kill him, the only help he could get was from God. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem." Now I read this and I know, I can't get my notes apart, there we go. I read this and I know that that is literally talking to the Old Testament Jews, but there is a principle here that I want us to understand, I want us to catch it. The Lord hath comforted who? His people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his people today. He adopted us. He took us as his own. He has not made this promise to the world around us. He has not made this promise to the lost community. He will not comfort them the way that he comforts us. As a child of God, this promise is exclusive to us. This is a promise that nobody else can claim. Guys, as a child of God, you have access to things that you are not taking advantage of. We often try to figure it all out on our own and do it our own way. That is not the answer. The answer is to let God take care of it. And here's the best part. This comfort never stops. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 25, the Bible says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." This is an eternal consolation. This consolation will never fade away. Guys, there's going to come a day, if you've read the book of Revelation, there's going to come a point where after the judgment seat of Christ, and after we see the harvest of all souls, and God brings them all before the great white throne of judgment, there's going to come a time that God wipes away all of our tears. He's going to take them all away. That is the ultimate comfort, and that is comfort for eternity. Guys, that will never go away. You've heard the phrase, "There are no tears in heaven." Once we enter finally into that city, all of these tears will have gone away. God will have wiped them away. Man, I'm looking forward to it. There are so many things in my life that I regret. There are things that I've done that I wish I hadn't. There are things that I didn't do that I wish I did. And all the time, they're always in your mind and they're always beating you up. And one of these days, God's going to say, "Just remember me." And he's going to wipe all of those tears away. And we're going to be able to focus on him and be able to worship him for all eternity. Guys, we can't do that until he does. Until we come to the place where we're no longer thinking of ourselves, we really can't worship God the way that we're going to in eternity. Have you ever gone to the place of prayer? And you kneel down in your room, maybe in your bedroom, and you begin to pray and you begin to talk to God, and all of these thoughts and these things come to your mind and they just begin to invade your prayer time, and the next thing you find yourself doing is you're no longer praying. Now you're so concentrated and overwhelmed by what's going on. There's going to come a time when that no longer happens. Because we'll be in the presence of the Lord, and part of this consolation is the fact that that won't be able to happen anymore. Guys, I'm looking forward to it. But there is a part of consolation that we don't want. We don't want one aspect of consolation this morning, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort." We read that just a minute ago. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Notice the phrase, comforteth us in our tribulation. In it. Guys, we can have comfort in affliction. We don't want that part. We don't want the affliction part. But it works in our life. If all you ever have are the good things, how will you ever appreciate them? We look at the beauty of the rose, but if it wasn't for the thorns on the stem, how would you really be able to understand the contrast, the beauty that's really there with the harshness that's right underneath it? Without going through affliction, without going through trial, how can you ever understand and how can you ever appreciate when God comes along and wraps His arms around you? I personally believe that may be part of the issue with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in the garden and they walked with God in the cool of the day. They never knew anything else. They didn't really appreciate it. But when the affliction came, then they decided, hey, you know something, now we're missing something. When we find ourselves in affliction, and it doesn't matter what the source of the affliction might be, but when we find ourselves in it, we need to take that consolation that God offers to us. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." We are to take comfort in that. We are to allow God to console us when we go through these things, because Jesus Christ went through them Himself. He told us that we should expect that. When this kind of stuff happens against us, we shouldn't look at it as if it's something unusual. We should say, hey, this is just what God went through. This is what Jesus went through. And we should take consolation even from that. But God allows us to go through these things, not just so that we can enjoy His consolation, but so that we can comfort one another. We see that in this verse. So that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Guys, when God comforts us, we should want to pass that on. My son's going through some things right now, and I sent him this basic outline a couple days ago. I don't know if he's read it or not, but I'm hoping that it'll be a consolation to him, simply knowing that no matter what happens, God is still there. And when we find ourselves serving God and the enemy comes against us, then we can accept the consolation that the Lord has for us and then offer it to somebody else. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Freely you have received, freely give"? Guys, that's not just the ministry of reconciliation. It's also the ministry of consolation. God has consoled us without charge. He doesn't send us a bill like the psychiatrist does. He doesn't try to put us on pills. Instead, He comes alongside and He puts His arms around us and He says, "I still love you." And when you come alongside somebody else that's going through something and you wrap your arms around them and say, "I still love you and so does God," that's helping. Guys, we've got to get to this place where we realize our consolation comes from the Lord. Our consolation will never run out. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5, the very next verse says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." No matter how much trial, No matter how much trouble we find ourselves in, God's comfort will never run out. God doesn't have a line on there that says empty. He's always full. He's always able to console us, to give us the comfort that we need, even when we don't recognize it. Guys, the Lord wants to help us. Notice verse number 6 and 7. And the Bible says, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation." The things that we go through, particularly preachers, what they go through is for others' benefit. When you go through something, try to find a way to see what God is doing in the lives of others through it. Sis, when you went through cancer, it didn't affect just you and Lowell. It affected the whole church. And when she went through this affliction, it affected everybody. Her consolation, seeing how she went through it, was enough to encourage us and to strengthen our faith and to say, if she can go through cancer like that, man, God can do anything. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to see that. Our affliction is for the consolation of others and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Notice verse number 7. "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolations." Guys, I told you, God saves this for his children. This consolation is saved for God's own. And when we go through it as being a partaker of Christ's sufferings, we are partakers of his consolation as well. He comes along and does things for us that nobody can ever see, nobody can ever understand. We need to understand, and we read that first part there, it's for your consolation. We need to understand that people are watching. When we as Christians go through trials, whether it be the loss of a loved one or some illness in our life or financial distress, whatever it might be, when we find ourselves in that distress and we lean on that consolation of God, the people that are around us, our neighbors, are watching. And they say, "Wow, look at how he trusted or she trusted in God going through that." And they saw that. And the Apostle Paul took time in Scripture to point it out. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." You saw the way that we were. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11, or through 12 actually. The Bible says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Uh-oh, here it comes, verse 11. "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." You see, only God can console and bring us through those problems to the point where people can say, "Hey, look what I went through and look what God did for me." Guys, that's what we've got to do. We've got to use these as opportunities to encourage, not to beat up and not to cast down, not to try to discourage. We preachers especially, if we're not extremely careful, the things that weigh on our minds, the things that weigh on our hearts, we can allow them to affect us to the point where we come into a service and we open up the Scripture and we can rip you guys to pieces. And that, what good does that do? It doesn't. But to give you hope, to give you consolation, that helps. Consolation from other Christians, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 7. The Bible says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." How many of you have been there before? Fightings without and fears within. "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." Sometimes just spending time with a brother or sister in Christ is enough to lift you up. We've heard the phrase, And it's in Scripture. We found it. We've read it time and again. Except, now my brain just went blank. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And you read over in the New Testament, it talks about two walking together. And if one, I think that's in the New Testament, maybe it's the old, one falls in the ditch, the other's there to help him out. That's what we've got to have. We need that here in the church. We need the consolation of brotherhood. We need the consolation of each other. I thank God that we all have the same trials. We all have the same problems. But we don't all have them at the same time. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? You come into church here and each and every one of us experience the same problem that we? Each and every one of us, let's just give an example. Each and every one of us lost our job that week. Could you imagine? You might as well hand out bullets at the door. That's the kind of attitude that would be there. But God doesn't do that. God allows us to go through these trials at different times so that we could come alongside. And just the very presence of a brother like Titus is enough to encourage and strengthen. Notice also in verse number 7, not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted of you. Listen, Paul took consolation in the simple fact that others cared enough to care about others. Think about that for a minute. It's almost enough to make your brain hurt. Rita loves Amanda to the point where she does something for her. As Rita's husband, I can see that and rejoice. Rob might be able to look at it and say, man, Rita loves my wife enough to care about her. But that's the way it's supposed to work. It encourages others. And we need that in our lives. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 29. Philippians 1, 29 through chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We read this passage of Scripture, and Paul reads this. As I read it, I come to the idea that this is a foregone conclusion for Paul. This is something that must take place. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. That's not a question of if there is. It's a since there is. Christ offers to us this consolation. And he says, if any comfort of love. Man, I tell you what, I couldn't imagine the last 26 years. Almost 27 now. Almost 27 years. I couldn't imagine it without the love of my wife. I couldn't imagine what it would have been like. To know that the love of Christ is always there. As a child of God, how could we ever imagine a life without it? Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. I should have moved that up with the others, but that's okay. A little while ago, we talked about a ministry of consolation. We've mentioned this in passing a couple of times, but I want to show to you in Philemon chapter 1, Philemon verse 7, chapter 1 verse 7. I want to show to you the consolation of ministry. Not a ministry of consolation, but the consolation of ministry. The Bible says, and we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. This is a preacher being consoled by the faithfulness of another preacher. The fact that he's still doing what God has called him to do. Hasn't given up on God. This is the consolation that he gets from knowing that he's not alone. We read back in the Old Testament about Elijah. And we beat him up and we give him all kinds of grief for thinking that he's all alone when God has reserved to himself these multitudes of prophets that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But yet sometimes we find ourselves in the same condition, thinking that we're all alone. Oh, woe is me, I'm all alone. And that's the attitude that we often get. But the simple fact is, we're not alone. There are people that are remaining faithful to God in other places. Brother Earl in Ohio. We've got some folks over in West Virginia that Rita and I know that are remaining faithful to God. There's some folks in Florida that we know that are remaining faithful to God. There's some folks out in Minnesota that are remaining faithful to God. That should give us consolation this morning to know that there's still a few pockets around that of folks that still love the Lord. Guys, we need to understand that. We need to remember that we are not alone. And when we get to that place where we do think we're alone, we need to go right back where we first got our consolation. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18 for the last verse this morning. The Bible says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. When we find ourselves in that place where it seems like everything is against us and there's no brother available to come along and console, and we think that God has forgotten us, all we've got to do is go back to Him and say, Lord, I feel so alone. Lord, it feels like everybody's against me. And He's still there, just like the day He was when you got saved. Man, I tell you what, the day that I got saved, you know why I got saved? I was afraid of what God was going to do. Man, I'm telling you, God shows me that I'm lost and I'm undone and I'm going to die and go to hell. I've got to do something about this. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm without hope. I had to go and I needed some consolation. And there was, I couldn't go to my mom and say, Mom, I fear for my life. I know that I'm a sinner against God and I know that I'm under His condemnation. I know this. And Mom, can you help me? Mom couldn't help me. The only person I could go to is God Himself. And sometimes when we find ourselves in that place where we forget everything else, all we can do is go back to God. Say, Lord, You forgave me all those years ago. God, I've done it again. Lord, I've done this, that, and the other thing, and I feel so alone. And Lord, I feel like everybody's against me. God, would You comfort me? And He will. Guys, I'm telling you what, this morning, there is nothing like the feeling of the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ wrapped around you when you feel like no one else cares. Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. It's what we need. No matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what problems you might have in your life, God can console you. God wants to console you. We have a habit, though, of saying, no, I don't want it, and we push His hand away. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and go to put their arm around you just as a token of love, saying, hey, brother, I love you, and you say, get away. Have you ever done that? I have. We do that to God sometimes. We need to stop doing that. We don't know everything. We don't know the end from the beginning like God does. We can't see how this is all going to work out. But we've got a promise from God that it's all going to work together for good for them that love God, for them that are the called according to His purpose. Guys, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in this church, God still loves you. Though all men forsake me, He's still there. Let's pray. Father, we ask You, Lord, that You just work in our lives this morning. And Heavenly Father, we don't know Your will. Father, I ask You, God, that You would just move, we pray. Give wisdom. Father, we ask You, Lord, just reveal Your will to each and every one of us. Give us the grace and the consolation that we need this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.